as yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
Oh, I'm just too newly expanded this morning. When does a MySpace page become a virtual orgy?
Oh.
When it's Ed Cavalli's, apparently.
Bang.
We'll go there.
Bang. Heaps of jokes as we check into the loony bin.
Okay. Pole dancing clubs, Ed. Oh. They're becoming more popular than book clubs.
Good.
I'm talking about your home pole dancing
really?
Club. Yeah, the amateur pole dancing club. We'll get into a bit of that. James Cameron reckons he's found Jesus, the real one, out in the back shed.
Fantastic. Would you vote for someone that looks like you if you're a Finnish listener? The answer is we.
And why not spend the rest of your day dropping concrete balls into an active volcano? That's what they're doing over in Indonesia, apparently.
Wow.
All this and more coming up on Get This, along with the game that's the talk of the industry, Ed Cavalli's Radio Conkers.
That is a juvenile, idiotic game to play.
Only because you lost, Johnny.
That's Crowded House coming back, apparently, here at Get This on Triple M around the nation.
Really?
I'd be Tony Martin. Yes, that's Ed Cavalli.
Hi, yep.
Who pushed that button?
I think it was Richard Marsland.
Ricky. Oh, welcome aboard, everybody.
Hey, Ricky.
It's the midweek show. What were you saying? The finish for yes is we?
Yeah.
That true?
I speak European. I speak foreign.
Are you going back to the World Cup this year?
Well, it's not on time. It's only every four years. But I'm glad you brought this up because I need 3 weeks off in June.
Yeah.
Because the Asian... Oh, okay, Rich. Because there's 3 weeks in... the Asian Cup of Nations is on, the soccer. I really need to see if we're going to beat... Chinese Taipei.
Are you going to be reporting on that from, New Zealand? Somewhere like that?
The mood takes me.
See, we need a reason, though. I mean, last year you were trying to track down Otto Pfister, coach of Togo.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the big issue at the Asian Games?
Down an opium den?
6 months.
In Chiang Rai?
6 months to think of one. We need a bit of action here.
Yeah, action. We want action.
It's the middle of the week, so it's time for...
The Richard Marsland Midweek Challenge.
Yes, it's the Richard Marsland Midweek Challenge, and that always prompts a lot of fireworks at the studio. And
the intro goes on a bit.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of fireworks, and it's clearly going to be a great challenge.
It's a 21 cannon salute.
I hope we're not overselling it.
Oh, that was awesome.
Thank you. Marty Sheargold on flash pots.
Sheargold-esque.
Okay, there's a lot of talk about Richard Mars and everyone wants him to panel their show.
They do.
How good is he?
The new zoo, begging for his services in Adelaide.
That is true.
Shebang tried to get him.
Yeah.
Understanding 50. I was doing some stand-up with Cole Elliott. A couple of weeks ago.
Can't help laughing with Cole.
Yeah.
It's time to canvass a big issue. I think nuclear power, that'd be the big issue today.
All right.
And we're going to do it with the help of Richard Mars, and we're going to find out just how good he is on the buttons.
Awesome.
Okay.
Have you been rehearsing?
Yeah, sure. What can you do? I mean, all I can do is crack my knuckles and hope for the best.
All right. We're going to put you to the test, and we'll. I think we've got someone on the line. Mr. Howard, I think, is on the line.
Yes. Get this. My film that nobody else likes is Ice Castles.
That was Monday's show, Mr. Howard. Today we're talking nuclear power.
Yeah.
Is it true you knew about this bid to build a new reactor by a consortium of local businessmen?
Of course. Crazy John told me about the idea months ago.
Crazy John is involved?
Yes, Crazy John's Discount Energy Warehouse. Brain-snapping nuclear bargains. Clean, green, and completely insane.
Nice sound effect, Mr. Howard. Mr. Rudd, your comments?
If the Prime Minister wants to be hairy-chested about nuclear energy, then
we've heard that one. Rodney Rood, your view? Mr. Howard, how many reactors are we talking about in toto? No, not Toto, Richard.
I quite like that song. And I'd like to request Ed Cavalli's Knights in White Satin.
Knights in White Satin.
Mr. Howard, I think we're getting off the subject. If this keeps up, we'll
never reach to the end.
If the Prime Minister wants to be hairy-chested about the Moody Blues...
I wasn't talking to you, Mr. Rudd.
Nearly cocked it up there, Richard.
Sure did. Why do you keep playing that laugh? Is it because Rodney's on his...
Frog sack.
...tour? Because he is on his...
Frog sack.
...tour? Anyway, getting back to Mr. Howard, who's certainly not on a...
Frog sack.
...tour. Harry Goodrichard.
If Mr. Rude wants to be hairy chested about...
Now shut up, Rudd. You're not on a...
Frog sack.
Tour, who's to say whether I am or not?
It's Rodney Rudd. I'm sorry, this interview is completely off course. Mr. Howard, are you gearing up for a...
Frog sack.
Sorry, a showdown with Maxine McHugh?
I'll take whoever the ABC can throw at me. Maxine, Ian Parmenter, B2, Rob Pole of the Bailey, whoever
right.
they
right.
want.
Right, can I just play some comments you made in a recent interview on this program?
It's not one of those sketches, is it? They are, as Alexander Downer likes to say...
Puro.
Good one, Richard.
No, this is the clip here.
I hear you've had some pretty wild parties at the lodge.
There have been allegations about Tony, human rights abuses.
Tony, that is a ludicrous caricature of my voice. I'm not going to respond to that.
Mr. Rudd.
If the Prime Minister...
Yes, thank you. That's clearly a case of...
Hot cow!
Frank Butcher from EastEnders. You've got no right to just barge in here.
I have every right.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I love you, you balmy old horse!
I see. David Bowie, your thoughts on nuclear power?
It is the NAS. Or maybe it's not.
I don't think it is the NAS. Although Gavin Wood from Houseboat Horror says...
Magnificent, you're bar up!
Hinder, your thoughts? That wasn't the answer I was expecting.
So you're saying now you're qualified to tell me?
David Dickinson from Bargain Hunt has joined us. Are you just playing anything now? This is
I'm paying money.
What are you doing?
Yellow belly black snake!
Oh, come on. What? Richard, I don't think the computer can handle...
Absolute bollocks.
Well, everybody, how good get is this? Down! You were just playing anything there at the end.
Sorry. It's an old panel. It's got bell bottoms. It can't handle that.
What's all this white powder that's all over me from inside the panel?
Whoa.
Why is that dog attacking
Jesus.
You? So much more to get to. Pretty good.
My brain's exploded. Who am I? Am I Kevin Rudd?
John Peters is in the corner. What's happened?
What's happened?
I can't follow any of it. We need some music to recover. Here, get this. Oh, that's the John Butler Trio, Funky Tonight, this morning here at Get This on Triple M. And
he's at John Butler's angling to play the theme song for Funky Junkie. That's what he wants. That's what he's at. That's I know what he's into.
But we've already got a theme song for Funky Junkie.
Yeah, well, why don't we do the segment then, Tony?
Because
why is it a segment we're not allowed to do?
Because it attracts disdain whenever we do it. We hint that we're going to do it.
All right, I'll stop complaining.
Yeah, look, there's a whole list of stuff. I have to say... Every day at the top of the show, we go, coming up on the program.
Yeah.
And then going to an air break, we might go, stick around because we're doing this. You've mentioned like dozens of things already this year, which you've never done.
What?
What happened to the Razzie winners? We're going to do that on our Oscar show. What happened at the ad break yesterday? And you go, stick around because I've got news on Galen's career.
Yeah, I did say that.
Do you not write things down?
No.
I mean, it used to be just challenges that you never did. Now, like, whole sentences are previewed and they never turn up.
Well, what's it about Gale and Tone?
I don't know.
Did I tell you off air?
Yeah. Well, no, you said, I'll tell you on air. So, if
you know, I want to make a promise. I thought, actually...
Another one.
No, hang on. I thought about this morning, right? Because I've been listening back to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Firstly, I'm getting a little bit upset because Marsland's starting to show me up, right? With
how?
His constant professionalism, buttons and highlighted bits of paper and great jokes.
Yeah.
You just... Put them away, Marsland.
He's got something on that fat kid from England, have you? I think we all saw that one.
So, I left my printout of that downstairs,
what
though,
I love
so
is
I don't have anything.
Richard and I were looking at it for jokes, and Ed's just looking at it like it's a menu.
Well,
great, 17 hamburgers for lunch.
I did notice that he has a hamburger and chips for lunch,
but
he was thinking about having it for breakfast. Trying to oust the Cocoa Pops because they just weren't tasty enough.
We're getting to that later. What was the thing about a priest and a...
Oh, what did the priest give a stripper?
Yeah, that story was...
A severed hand.
We waited 3 weeks to find that out. Every day, the top of the second hour, you said that, and that's what it was.
It's not interesting.
Why did he give
it? It's not interesting that a stripper is trying to seduce a doctor, and he's looking for gifts to give her, and he's thinking, well, you can't give the girl that has everything, you know, money-wise, stuffed into her stuff, right? Well, I've got to give her something that she's going to remember me by. So he gave her a severed hand.
Did he slip it down the front of the dirt?
Of course he did.
Sort of Jack Nicholson and The Departed style.
Exactly.
And where did that happen, so that we know it's a new story and not something you've just made
up? Seattle. Let's say Seattle.
Okay, what other things have you promised to talk about and never got to? What about your MySpace page? Emails.
Mm.
Emails. Oh, you know, here we go. I do have one of those. Okay, here we go. This is from Nathan, probably several weeks ago. Thank you, Ed, it says in big letters. After hearing your glowing endorsements for Short Bus, I rented it to watch with friends. Mm. Never have I seen such damage done to the human psyche in such a short period of time. One friend still stares at me, unable to say anything other than, but why on your own face? Another claims he will never play the trombone again.
Uh-huh.
My housemate has retreated into her room for the last 2 days to watch it repeatedly with only the sound of constant giggling emerging from within.
Right.
Leaving me to answer the calls from the video store asking for the movie's return because it's hired on my card. What freaks they must think I am. Showing this movie to the sexually repressed has now become more fun than making vegans watch the buffalo slaughter in Apocalypse Now.
Right. That's what he does. That's his idea of fun.
That's Nathan, one of us. I asked you for a sting, didn't I?
I just found a little something. And what did you want it to represent?
Short Bus.
Okay.
So now, from now on, when we mention Short Bus, this is the Sonic Action Trigger. So, hey, Rich, have you seen Short Bus? Okay. Is that it? No. I thought it was a splat.
Well, we couldn't find a splat.
Can we not say Sonic Action Trigger? That's the kind of terminology we're meant to be avoiding on this program.
So there you go. But listen, I'll give you a promise, Martin.
Yeah.
I'm going to tabulate all the things I said I'd never do because I think it's a metaphor for my life. A lot of things I say I do, I never do them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do them.
It's just a giant bain-marie in front of you with just little stories from the Brisbane Courier Mail from last October floating to the surface.
Tony, I'm not very good at this.
Short Bus is only on overnight loan only.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to point out that it is not for the kiddies.
Right. We've said that every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see it now because it's been built up so much. I'm expecting something, I'm sure, far more graphic than
there
what
is a very happy ending.
Okay.
Yeah, at the beginning. All right. We've got serious issues. Promises.
Oh, so what? This break was just have a go at Cavalli. Is that what it was?
No, it was informative about films.
Oh, that, you know what? I am going to sizzle something.
Yeah.
Everyone listening, go to myspace.com/EdCavalli.
Hmm.
There are some pictures of you, Tony, which will make this a very interesting viewing.
Don't worry, I'm sure you will have forgotten them by the end of this song. Yes, all right. Thank you, Rolling Stones. Start me up.
Bit of a one-hit wonder, that Rolling Stones. Is that the only song they've ever got?
Why can't we play Rocks Off? Wouldn't that be good? That'd be the opening track from Exile on Main Street.
I think we play Tumble and Dice.
Oh, yes,
it's
please.
A good track.
Yeah, let's have that.
Yeah, we pull that out from Exile on Main Street. Yeah. Waiting on a Friend is a good track.
Yeah.
Which we play occasionally.
Yeah.
It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It.
Why didn't we have that one?
Sympathy for the Devil. Well, yeah, that's 6.5 minutes. But,
yeah,
you know.
6.5 minutes.
Can we cut it down?
Yeah. I don't like things that go 6.5 minutes.
Some are 69 at it.
What have you found on your MySpace page?
Oh, my friends.
Oh, my God.
My 800 friends have been hard at it. Michael has sent in a lovely photograph of you with the
Turn
silkest.
Turn the screen round. What is it? What
Look
is
at
it?
That silky yellow shirt.
Oh, my God. That's me. Pseudo-Echo, I think, was the sketch.
He's got a flying V guitar, a very serious pout on his face, same glasses he's wearing today. And the highest G... Look, you know what he's... Look at that, Rich. Look at that attention to detail. He's pulled the jeans up above the edge of the flying V, but below the satin shirt tuck-in, just so we can check out the silver buckle.
That's Funky Town playing the tabaret.
And here you are now. Look,
that's me as Warwick Camper, apparently.
No, you can say what you like. That's you in a Don Johnson wig, big glasses, a gold chain.
How are these? Because these aren't off the Late Show DVD. These must be people who have got the original tapes.
I don't know. Look, Michael says he's gone through his archives. Yeah. So great job, son.
Feed through his archives. What must they be like?
Your house?
Final. Yeah, fair enough.
Now, off air, Tony, just to let people in on the world. The song comes on. You took your headphones off and went, Richard, you want to mention that fat kid now? Hey? You know that fat kid?
Yes. It's like working with...
Just give him a kicking.
Forrest Whitaker in The Last King of Scotland sometimes.
Eddie Martin. It's Eddie Martin.
But then...
You're joking.
But then the conversation was like, oh, well, are we having a go at him? And then it's like, no, it's his mother who's making him eat.
Yeah.
It's tough love that fat kid needs. It's not like it's a medical condition that he can't help putting on food.
Yeah.
Listen to the guy's daily intake. Breakfast, Cocoa Pops. That's
delicious.
Fine. Start sensible.
That's
11 a.m.
That's not fine.
11 a.m. This is an 8-year-old kid who looks like the bloke from Lost on a diet. 11 a.m., 3 slices of toast with sliced meat.
Whoa. Mm.
Lunch, that's an hour later, 2 sausages, a burger, chips and soft drink.
Oh.
Dinner, takeaway, roast. The roast will include Yorkshire puddings, four of them. Whoa. Snacks. This is where the trouble starts. Every 20 minutes, intake will include four packets of chips, three packets of biscuits, several bars of chocolate.
Wild.
Jeez Louise. Stop drooling it.
Is she looking to adopt that woman? She wanted a 27-year-old son to go with her 8-year-old?
They'll take the roof off the house and crane the kid down to your neck if you want. Is he being fed sandwich on stick? No, because I saw him on the news. Yeah. On a trampoline.
Best trampoline footage ever. And the smallest kid trying to stand as far away from him on the trampoline as he can, because he knows what's going to happen.
The bounce back.
One false jump, and he's face first into the gut. Or even worse, if he falls, it's face first into the gear, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm sure he's been projected to Wales on occasion. Nasty pun there, but no, I feel a little bit sorry because you know he's only 8 years of old, years of age. Yet he has.
He's broken four beds and five bikes. Has trouble dressing himself.
This is what I'm talking about.
A few issues.
It's good stuff.
Now, if he was having trouble dressing himself, okay, on its own, that's not funny. But it's his mother who just won't stop, and she's going. Oh, he doesn't like... What was the bit where she goes... Well,
if it's neglect, then he would be starving. That's what her argument was.
And she's going, oh, he just likes junk food. Yeah. I mean, I tried... He put a bit of apple in his mouth once and just spit it out in disgust.
Oh, no.
No, I want the 14 Yorkshire puddings, please. Just... A slice of toast with sliced meat. Is that something you would ever eat?
Toast and meat. Toast and venison. Toast and real veal. Delicious.
There is some good news. He's been cast as a goon in a new Guy Ritchie film, so that's wonderful. No, that's a bit mean, but there was a grab from the kid himself, and obviously it's a big issue.
Sure.
Child obesity. But here's the little kid speaking now.
Eating less. And eat healthy foods. And peeing on my trampoline lots of times.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he said, but if you slow it down, when he coughs, you can actually hear what he coughs up.
Eating less.
That's unnecessary. Sorry. That's all Matt Dower.
Do you know who... you love that now. Do you know who's to blame here? Is the bullies. The bullies aren't doing their job.
Well, hang on.
This is where they...
Be careful.
No, this is where they come into their own. If a kid's packing...
So bullies can work for good.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
He's 8 years old.
Yeah, and he's going to school. And no bullies have noticed he's a boomba. No one's got any teasing him any names.
No one wants him to, you know, bounce off the trampoline onto them, I'm guessing.
This is... Come on, guys, pick up your socks.
But this is...
Stop worrying about the kids with the bum chins and go after the fat kids.
Because we had that bloke who did work experience last year.
Oh, Tom.
Tom, and he said that this was the reason there was child obesity, because they're clamping down on bullies.
He was right. He's absolutely right.
Swings and roundabouts. All right, is that...
give us a call. Tell us what you think, eh?
Child obesity crisis, that's been covered. Next up, what?
What, the Pamela Anderson?
Oh, another fat kid. No. Clubs. Lap dancing clubs. Home lap dancing clubs. Oh. Apparently more popular now than book clubs.
Finally.
Yeah, the big issue's next on Get This.
Get This.
Don't forget to tell them how nice they look.
Brought to you by Nathan Beck of Echuca, who recommends the Get This Fleetcast. Compared to the Fleetcast, other podcasts are offering boob kiss.
Around the country.
Good on you.
I'd like to thank everyone who continues to email in about our movie show on Friday. There are some people who would like to just go forever.
Yes.
Here's an interesting email from Leanne who says, leave Anthony Michael Hall alone.
Didn't have a go.
I think we did recently, not on the movie show. He doesn't need to make a comeback, as he does already star in the highly successful show The Dead Zone for the past 5 years, six seasons.
What is The Dead Zone?
Well, there was the movie.
The Stephen King thing?
Yeah, Christopher Walken. Oh, this is the TV version. Five series.
It's so true. You know you're doing well when you're in a TV spin-off of a straight-to-video Stephen King release.
But
says the man rejected from KFC ads.
Leanne says that it is so good, this show, that Channel 9 are buggering around with the time slot and putting it after midnight, so that usually is a sign that's good.
She's right.
The Wire, The Sopranos, Curb Your Enthusiasm, after midnight, that's when the action...
Can I see that? Did you make that email up just so you could go on like that?
I didn't. Have a look.
Damn it. Leanne. All right, fair enough, Leanne. Okay.
And what does she say? At the end, she says, maybe Judd Nelson is more in need of a comeback.
What about Jonathan Silverman?
Oh,
he always pops up.
Too good for too long.
The other guy from Weekend at Bernie's.
Andrew McCarthy.
Andrew McCarthy, yeah.
And Jonathan Silverman.
Yeah, right.
Gordon. Well, we've lost everybody.
I was going to say something about that.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson, the story is that John Cusack was meant to play that role in The Breakfast Club.
Right.
Bender. And he, what happened on the during John Cusack's audition, Judd Nelson was throwing a tennis ball at the wall outside and like making a lot of noise. And then he walked in dressed as the character, threw a tennis ball at John Hughes, said a few lines and walked out, gave him the part.
Wow.
Jeez.
Did the part, was never seen again. time for some music. I've run out of things to say about this.
It's always at this time.
So straight to Jet. There's nothing new to be said. Please don't. And that's Jet here at Get This. It's Triple M around the nation. Once again, thank you for people sending in emails about Richard Marsland's appearance in the film Boytown. It's out on DVD now.
He is. You're in the audio studio, aren't you, Rich?
I'm standing behind Gary Eck.
Didn't you have a line that got cut?
No, I had half a line. It wasn't official. I managed to wangle it into the film.
Playing a record company executive.
Max.
So I'm assuming you did have half a line. We've got an email from Mel who says, Richard, that was the best non-speaking role in history.
Cheers.
Ed, I love your facial expressions. They're brilliant. Tony, love the hair. Which I should point out was the same mullet wig worn by Steve Bastoni in an episode of Stingers, for those, you know, keeping score.
What about the jacket? Isn't the jacket have some significance as well?
I don't know. It was all meant to pay off on the DVD. It was all sort of, as Vince Van Patten says on the World Poker Tour, laying down the twigs and branches for the DVD. But a lot of people are emailing in, Mike Cahill the latest, to say, what's happened to Boytown Confidential? Why isn't it on the DVD? A very good question.
Shocking horror, another cover-up.
Oh, John thinks it's a cover.
We'll be sizzling that controversy.
Now, what are we talking?
I reckon we're getting up the mountain.
Yeah,
let's do it. Which mountain are we talking Mountain. Have you guys
something for Ciara fans?
Have you installed a pole in your lounge room, Richard Marsland, like these suburbanites are doing now? Look at that.
Oh yeah, okay, because it's good for fitness. It helps you. Helps your abs. It helps you get toned.
Yeah. Helps your core.
Yeah.
Your glutes. Now, but hang on, Tone. You've been saying lap dancing club.
Oh, pardon
That's
me.
That's something very different.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's fine for people to have a pole dancing club in their house. Lap dancing club would just be weird.
I'd say the other way around.
Okay.
I would love the night to see when you show up for book club. Yeah. Nah, things have changed. Music's on. On the laps.
See, people
going off.
They're getting sick of book clubs because you've got to, what's the phrase, read the book.
After the Da Vinci Code, I just stopped.
Once you've got
through, never going to get any better than that.
Da Vinci Code and Life of Pi. And what's the other one they always do?
There's nowhere to go.
The Kite Runner.
What about the Joy Luck Club? That's still getting a run, isn't it?
Speaking of book clubs, you think you guys are nerds. There were a couple of guys yesterday on the beaches giving away spare books from the library.
Out of a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
On the beach.
Barrow full of books.
Spare books.
And do you reckon one person read them?
I know.
No, they were just found floating out to sea moments later. But this is in America, but I have heard of it happening here. Pole dancing clubs.
I know someone that's a pole dancing instructor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When's she coming in?
Soon, hopefully.
Okay. Once exclusively the province of exotic dancers, has flared as a much-hyped Hollywood exercise craze and has seeped through into the collective unconscious through shows such as The Sopranos and Desperate Housewives. People are having pole dancing parties all over. Mini poles have been spotted at suburban bar mitzvahs. Really? How do you combine those two?
It's a very ancient tradition.
Yeah,
light the candles. Grandma spins around the pole.
It's a bit boring. The old bar mitzvah. It's just snip, snip. Everyone go home. Maybe some pole dancing can pad out the running time.
Welcome to adulthood.
Snip, snip.
Apparently.
You know so much.
The pole at, the pole is the new star of racier versions of Tupperware parties, which are busting out all over. And you do hear this. It's fitness. Oh, it's about fitness.
Yeah.
Is that woman getting fitter, do you think?
So much fitter. Look at her go. Look at her core strength.
That woman is going to have a column in Zoo by next week, I think.
That's what they need for this kid in England. Install a pole in the house.
Teach it in schools.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I still like the idea of a lap dancing club more myself.
What they need to do is install a pole in that kid and then just spin it like one of the giant things they have at the kebab shop.
Install a pole in a kid.
Now, that kid needs tough love. I know it sounds cruel, but that kid will die.
And so, I mean, how many kids have you got?
Me?
Yeah.
None.
How fat's your Labrador?
Enormous, fatter than that kid. You can stand a marble on the back of the dog. It will roll for hours. Never fall off. Clubs! Surely not just pole dancing, nay, lap dancing clubs in the suburbs. What other clubs are people setting up now?
Cannabis growing.
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
The old cannabis growing club. Yeah. Here we go. Look at this. Whopper crop tip to the tip, from tip to cops.
Yeah.
Someone in Victoria's got 80 plants found. Now, I need for us, the other club that we've all just joined is the Loony Bin.
Oh, really?
All right, everyone, it's the Loony Bin with Slabs, Tony Martian, and the Bedwetter. See, the cops have busted a cannabis crop here. It says here that the sophisticated cannabis operation was found and there was a bloke asleep on a mattress. Hey, how sophisticated is that? And one eyewitness said that he figured it was a cannabis crop because there was a strong smell of cannabis coming from the house when he walked past. He also asked police if they had a bag of chips.
Can we maybe not be the Loony Bin?
Come on, you love the Loony Bin.
We're talking about clubs. What club? Here's one we belong to for years. Bunch of comedians and myself set up the Beefeater Society. This was a club that would meet once a month and go to a different theatre restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, right. Different theatre we went to. You know, we did them in themes. We went to all the places you could get locked in for the night. Alcatraz, the dungeon.
Cool.
Then we went on the witchcraft theme, witches and britches.
Yeah.
What's the other one? The cauldron.
Yeah. Dracula's?
Dracula's. There you go. It's bloody expensive, though. It was an expensive club. And we did eat a lot of food with no cutlery, just with your hands, because that's what it's about at Dirty Dicks. But that was a great club.
It's a great club. What happened to it?
Oh, eventually. I think the phrase "all you can eat." Eventually, you just do eat enough.
There you go.
You just do have enough beef medallions floating
one lifetime
in a chocolate instant pudding. I have eaten all I can. Clubs, Richard Marsden.
I don't belong to any, but I've heard of the Sons of Lee Marvin.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. People who look like Lee Marvin.
People who look like, of course, the famous actor Lee Marvin, yeah. And it's a whole bunch of celebrities. It's is it Iggy Pop?
I think Jim Jarmusch is in there, because he does look like Lee Marvin.
Nick Cave?
Yeah.
I think Tom Waits.
Right.
Yeah, also. Nick Cave looks like Lee Marvin.
And so you have to have a more than passing resemblance to Lee Marvin.
More than passing?
I'm
part of the Sons of Andrew McCarthy myself.
I'm Sons of Jack Warden. But I like the idea, though, of the Sons of Lee Marvin Club.
Very it's good. Good. Yeah. Clubs, Ed Cavalier?
Drama club at uni.
Oh. Yeah. What did you open with? Ionesco?
No, we did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead.
Of course you did.
I did a 4-hour biblical play where I played God out in the courtyard in the middle of winter. It was freezing.
How'd you tackle that role?
Silver shoes. Spray painted my shoes silver. I had a cane. A possum ran across the stage one night. They talked about it for years. Hey, spoke about it for years.
Clubs. I'm trying to think if there have been any others.
You? You wouldn't like all that getting together, would you?
I was in the amateur theatre. The Super 8 Film Society. That was that was great.
Wow.
Because in those days, You know, a reel of film was only 3.5 minutes, and it cost most of your pocket money. So you couldn't just point at anything like you can with a video camera and just belt stuff off.
Yeah. All right.
Really think about it.
Like?
Mostly BMX jumps. That was it. I think we can get eight good ones onto a Super 8 reel.
Wow.
This is the pre-YouTube era. Okay, these are a piss week selection of clubs.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners belong to clubs and societies much more impressive and interesting than these.
I'm sure most of them are in institutions right now.
Call us up. Not the Loony Bin, hopefully. 1-333-53. And that'll be Fat Boy Slim. It's Get This. We're up Talkback Mountain, are we? Yes, we certainly are. Apparently a lot of people starting their own pole dancing clubs out there in the suburbs. What other interesting clubs do people belong to, Ed?
Hello, Andrew.
G'day, how you going?
Really good, sir. What club you're in?
I was the youngest ever president of the Bacchus Marsh Agricultural Show Society.
Oh, congratulations. They have a pole installed?
Oh, they didn't, but I only lasted 6 months because I closed the show down after 6 months. I was the only president of the Bacchus Marsh Agricultural Show Society never to see a show.
What did you do wrong?
What did you do?
It was unfinancial, so I closed it down.
What do you mean?
They were non-financial. They were broke. They didn't even realise it.
So right. You closed it down. You killed it.
Killed it after 6 months.
Wow. Oh. Look at that. He's laughing it off.
What next? What are you running now?
No, we're just doing vegetables now.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I'm just enjoying the phrase non-financial.
I'm loving non-financial.
So I'm broke, I'm going to say I'm non-financial.
Oh, really? You're yeah.
Like those people in the war who are dead. What are they called? Non-operative personnel.
Well, keep up the good work, Andrew. Perhaps a job at a telco for you, sir. Hello there, Eric. How are you?
No, good. Yourself?
Very good, sir. What club are you in?
I used to belong to the International Plastic Modelling Society.
Oh, international. How international were they?
Oh, we made stuff from all over the place.
Okay. And what did you make? What are we talking?
Oh, anything. It was mainly into tanks and all nice World War II-y stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. My older brother, who got me into it, he was he specialised in little soldiers, about 132 scale.
Oh, 132. That's a good scale.
That's a great scale.
What were the meetings like when the clubs got together?
There were some pretty good guys in there. Yeah. Pretty dorky. So you would have fitted in real good, you.
Yeah, lots of discussions about decals, things like that.
Oh, 50 cal was the ultimate weapon.
What are you guys talking about?
I'm not actually sure myself.
And are you still in there, Eric?
Nah, that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Eric. Have you ever thought about making little plastic, international plastic models of Birdman rally entrance?
Now, that'll be a challenge.
Nah, here we go. He's thinking now.
You'd have to start getting kits of all different sorts of planes and start picking out little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And just mould them together.
Well, that's good because we need to get that Birdman rally off the ground. Yeah. Are we going to get that guy from Foxtel, Tim Gunn?
Who's Tim Gunn?
The fashion consultant. We're going to do Project Birdman.
Ah, yes.
Project Birdman coming soon to get
Thorpey.
This.
Thorpey's the new judge on Australia's Next Top something or other.
He is.
He could help out.
He is. And, of course, it's a sad day today. Because Billy Thorpe has passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the next hour of this program, a very special announcer will be coming in, a guest announcer, to help us commemorate the life of Billy Thorpe. So
late. Back with the Howard Show on Triple M.
One of the great figures of the Australian hard rock and roll scene. He earned his greatest success with the Aztecs and shot to national prominence with a string of brash albums and songs and powerful performances at the Sunbury Music Festival.
Wow. He's got some moves, that guy.
He hit the post. He did well.
He hit the post. Wow. Secret Sound coming up.
Oh.
And thankfully, Mr. Howard has bought us some time so that we can get a third caller.
Hello, Brett. How are you? Hey, Brett. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Oh, Brett, thanks for calling, man. I was going to have to talk to Eric about plastic modelling for months if you didn't call in.
What's your club?
I'm part of a duck hunting club.
Yep.
No, sorry, a duck preservation club run by duck hunters.
Right, so initially you said duck hunting and then no preservation.
Yeah, no, it's preservation run by hunters.
And how does one preserve a duck?
Well, I guess they preserve the breeding so they can hunt them later.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. So you're fattening them up and then sending them out there and then shooting them.
So it's a very limited preservation, but there is some preserving before the gory end.
Yeah.
Well, Brett, I guess well done.
Well, thank you very much, Brett. Deferring duck death. Okay. I think we have one more person.
Hi, Travis. Travis, how are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Good. What are you? Which club are you in?
I'm not in it myself, but there's a club at uni called the Fellowship of Middle Earth.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, of course.
Which uni are we talking, bro?
Monash Uni.
They're everywhere. I went to Sydney and they're there as well. Now, what are they up to? Because when I was there, it was just sort of long coats and sort of singing poems and just sitting around dark corners playing snooker and stuff. What are they doing at your uni?
They're actually have their own balls where they dress up as elves and hobbits and all those sorts of things, and they have their own balls.
Really?
Right. And does anyone else dress up as a bunch of orcs and kick the crap out of them?
Most likely.
Okay. Well, things haven't changed.
Things have not changed one bit. Travis, why aren't you involved?
I don't have enough time.
What are you doing with your time?
I'm usually hanging out with the Economic Society.
Oh, they're a barrel of laughs.
That's where the real action is.
Dressing up as the Sydney Institute to go to stuff. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you to all four people who called us. Yeah. We're going to be in the next hour joined by, firstly, obviously, the Prime Minister.
Yeah,
this will be tribute. And Lawrence Mooney.
Get this.
Truly
get
titan.
This.
Brought to you truly by Pantsless Harry Bepto.
What I want.
because I can, if I don't because I wanna.
It's the second hour of Get This.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
Look, Ed, look, Richard, it's Lawrence Mooney. Dropped in. He's dropped in to do his tax. He's brought his best form in with him.
And you know, if you're a small business person, you have to pay today.
Oh really?
They actually do a lovely Australian thing where they extend it from the end of January because of the summer Christmas period, holidays, and make it the end of February. Of course, I've got to pay it now.
Okay.
So if you're listening, my accountant, tell me how much I have to pay and I'll get down to the post office.
Play some long songs so you can get that done thoroughly. Hey, clubs, do you belong to any clubs?
I formerly was a proud member of the scouting movement.
Oh, what badges did you get?
I was up, I had Adventurer, Explorer. I had, I think, Red, Blue and Green.
Wow.
What is a Pioneer, Explorer, Adventurer, and I was a Patrol Leader.
Wow.
Patrol Leader of the esteemed Rosella Patrol.
Oh,
we were all named after native birds.
Did you get your upskirting badge? I think that's a big one.
I won't have the woggle mocked on this show.
You've been driving a cab, have you?
Yes, I have.
Wow, comedy's going well in this country. No, we're going to talk about that next. It's all part of a new secret Lawrence Mooney project that he talked about in the paper on the weekend. That's next. I'll get this. Dancing in the Dark, that'd be Bruce Springsteen. It's the second hour of Get This. Myself, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalier's here, Richard Marsden's pushing a button, and now Lawrence Mooney's class to join
up.
Comedian Lawrence Mooney. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's always nice to be in here.
Yes.
In the air-conditioned comfort at Get This.
It can turn. All of a sudden, it'll be Singapore Airport.
Right. Has it got its own weather system, Get This?
That monkey that used to choose the music.
Yep. I don't know.
He's in the vents.
We have been told explicitly not to mention that anymore. That never happened.
Really? Sorry, the outbreak monkey.
One day I will connect up my email at this joint and find out what I'm supposed to say and not supposed to say.
Is that monkey ill?
Yeah.
No, what?
Okay.
Ixnay on the unky, mate.
Got to get another word.
Let's move to less controversial topics. Plagiarism in comedy. Something that always
intrigues. Party in Nuremberg there, Tone?
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence building for the Nuremberg. Lawrence is telling me that there is an instance where plagiarism is permitted.
I think that there's a tacit agreement amongst comedians.
Yeah.
And I'm invoking the word tacit.
Yeah,
That if you're corpsing at a corporate, you have got diplomatic immunity on reaching for any material you want. And that goes as far as Rodney Dangerfield, right through to Greg Fleet.
Have you ever done Rodney's joke about Canada?
No, I've done a couple of Rodney's jokes. I grew up in a tough area. The Lebanese restaurant around the corner, their specialty was broken leg of lamb. every time we shut the window, we broke somebody's fingers.
It does get very desperate the corporate circuit, and I can understand why you might have to bust out the Dangerfield gear.
And, of course, there's comedians that get into a narrative, and there's comedians that are gagmeisters, and I'm not one of them. And at a corporate, they don't want the narrative.
No.
They want you get open the joke book and give me a joke.
It might be off the internet.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't care.
If I can plagiarise Brian Potter from the British sitcom Phoenix Nights.
Mm.
Tell us a joke we know. That's where you never want to hear that.
Well, you were saying off air that you were at a corporate. You were saying
I do a few corporates. Basically, a lot of corporates think you're a good comedian if you remember jokes. Which is
very much
to what Tony is saying.
And
how do you remember all those jokes?
No, the Montreal Comedy Festival, I understand, is the place to go to see material being stolen.
Yeah.
And Ross Noble told, I won't name who he's talking about, but
Ross Noble
was in the audience of a gig at Montreal and saw an Australian comedian doing a whole chunk of his material. And he knew it was his material.
Richard, with the wig on. Richard had the wig on, you know.
But listen to this. He knew it was his material because the story it was based on had been invented by Ross.
Ouch.
He dreamt a new story and thought of a whole lot of jokes for it and went, I'll say that was in the news. And then this other bloke comes out and says the same thing.
Ouch.
The thing is with Ross Noble, his material is so kind of surreal and original.
Right.
You know, he talks about budgers eating jelly beans. Just imagine. And who's going to steal that?
There's a load of monkeys. You've got a load of monkeys in the boot of your time.
Don't mention monkeys. You've got a show coming up at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and probably touring around to all centres called Where To?
It is. called Where To, and it's about life inside the taxi. It originally started life as conversations in a taxi, me talking to drivers. Where are you from? How long have you been here? Have you been busy? Yes. And then I decided to get over the console into the driver's seat, so I sat the taxi school at Silvertop, which is, contrary to popular belief, quite comprehensive.
Well, let's find out how that's been going. We'll do that next on Get This. All right. Just making it up now. Thank you very much, Eskimo Joe, here at Get This on Triple M. Lawrence Mooney is with us. You were saying before that song, you've been driving a cab, researching a new comedy festival show.
That's right. I'm doing Comedy Verite, or The Method, if you like, where I go out and live it like De Niro on the mean streets of Melbourne.
Yeah, man.
And hope that it yields something comic. But what it has done is just opened my mind as to what happens inside the cab. It's fascinating. Do you know what you do out there, the travelling public? You get in there and you tell me secrets. They spill their guts because they think that, well, the cab driver, well, like, you know, he's a blank canvas, he's anonymous.
It's like the confession box.
Oh, the confessional. One bloke was saying to me, after too many beers, I was taking him back to Glen Waverley, and he said, oh, I'm moving in with my girlfriend tomorrow. Am I making a mistake? Am I? And I said, well, you got to don't ask a male for advice on this. Speak to your mum. He goes, well, and this his theory was beautiful. He goes, this is my idea, all right? I move in with my girlfriend all during the week. I sit there in tracky dacks. We eat takeaway. We watch DVDs. She loves it. That's junk time. And then on the weekend, I'm free to hang out with my mates.
He's
referring to time with his girlfriend as junk time.
Yeah, I'll make up for that later.
Isn't that delicious? I went, yeah, it sounds like you've really got it planned well there. And then he went on to tell me that she was a New Zealander and how wonderful she was.
Yes.
But New Zealand women, they're just so laid back. Aussie chicks, they ride you, mate. They ruin your life. But New Zealand chicks, laid back.
And, you know, wisdom. Are you dispensing wisdom as a cab driver? Or
look, I observe a bit of a protocol. I won't engage in conversation and start spilling my opinions on the passenger until they kind of engage me.
Right.
But quite often they're up for a chat, and so sometimes you sit in silence. But some of the wisdom came during my Silvertop taxi school.
Yes.
Peter, who was the one that signed me on, he looked at me straight in the eye and said, why do you want to be a cab driver? I said, oh, because I'm doing this comedy show. He said, right. He said, pretty tough out there, you know, lots of drunks. And I said, how do you deal with a drunk? And he said, I've been a taxi driver for a long time. Before this, I ran a pub for 15 years. And before that, I was a copper for 15 years. He goes, all I've dealt with is drunks. And this is the secret to the drunk.
Yes.
He said, drunks are like children. You tell them off, they'll throw a tantrum. Ask them for help, and they're yours.
Wow.
So an ask a drunk for help. So if his mates are arcing up in the back, don't go, would all you guys just shut up? Because then he's like, why don't you?
Yeah.
You say, excuse me, could you tell your mates to, you know, keep it down? And then he's like, give the taxi driver a go. Give him a go. This bloke's all right. And you have enlisted him for life.
That's the most sensible bit of advice we've got on the show.
So is that what I should have done when the drunks came up to me in the street the other day and literally grabbed me around the neck and told me the story about how his friend had just lost a dare, so he had to go and have sex with a pre-ops transgender?
Right.
Should I try to ask for his help?
Ask for his help. You say, now that you've got me in the headlock, could you carry me home? And he goes, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. Come on, we're carrying Ed home.
You're right.
Rather than, let go of me, he goes, right, you're up yourself.
It's true. It's exactly what happened. I said, that was a great story, fellas. May I leave? All right. Our story's not good enough for you.
Exactly.
Not good enough for the radio.
You say, do you know what? Could you tell me another story? I'm just going home to get my clipboard. And they'll wait for
you. Get my dictaphone.
Not good enough for me. I've had that in Scotland. A bloke claimed you staring at my girlfriend's tits.
What?
And then I've gone, no. Because I actually wasn't.
Right.
And then he's turned the other way. What, not good enough for you?
Right.
Well, you see, my girlfriend's packing chicken in a basket. Is that what you're saying? I have no idea what that means.
And your next statement is, you just want to punch me. Regardless of
let's just cut to the chase.
Response.
So that's helpful advice.
That is great advice.
Have you done that, Lawrence? I've
had drunks and asked them for assistance, and they are just malleable. If you tell a drunk off, I've also had people vomit, but not in the car. Because I'm very trained at watching the signs. The sucking of the cheeks, when the mouth starts to water and you get a They start working the lips and the tongue. I've reefed the cab over twice and said, just open the door and put your body out. And they're still in the middle of the sentence.
That's smart. I'm not going to.
Yeah. See, when we see that face in here, it usually means the Hinder song's about to come on.
But that's good to ask them for help. Oh, buddy, can you come and help me reorganise the boot?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, could you, could you help to get the smell out of this thing? I'll work on it for you. I actually have given up drinking and haven't had a drink for 7 months.
Well done.
And so the smell of alcohol is so strong for me now. Yeah. And anything after 10 p.m, anybody that gets into a cab is just blind. But I think it's a law.
I'm assuming you're countering that by wearing no deodorant, though, as
Well, it was Jeff Kennett that made taxi drivers wear uniforms. Now, Tony, yes. Richard,
Ed,
why was... In Victoria, it's uniforms for everybody.
Yeah, why is that? Why does a cab driver need to wear a uniform? Normally, that distinguishes people from the general public from people that need to be doing a job of great urgency, that's ambulance, right. Fireman, police. Mm. But when you get into a cab, not much mistaking who the cab driver is.
Ah, that's so true.
If you were sitting there in tracky dacks in a singlet, you wouldn't go, okay, where's the driver? You know, why is a cab driver in a uniform?
And don't they have to buy them themselves?
They do. They buy, and why? How many do they buy? They buy one. And I, after, you know, a 60-hour shift, I was smelling like a cab driver, but it is also a sign of seniority, how many years you've been in the job.
Right.
If you've got that black, you know, the blue has now turned black.
Yeah, that's right. He's an old head. He's a top guy.
You just go, okay, this guy, clearly his uniform, it's like a four gold braid on a sea captain's uniform.
The bigger the sort of circle of sweat mark underneath the armpit, that's a badge of honour.
You count the rings.
Oh, is that right?
And you can see how many years it's been in the job.
The authority. Hey, we want to talk about something entirely different for a moment, Lawrence.
Ask me.
What have you found? Now, surely you find stuff in the cab.
Yep.
That's what we're going to talk about next. What have you found to get this? That's Guns N' Roses, that Chinese Democracy album. I think is only 5 years away.
Good
stuff.
So look
for it in your shops, Live and Let Die. Lawrence Mooney is with us, and I should point out our secret sound is still... been our secret sound of the week. Don't know what it is. Maybe you've heard that sound in your cab, Lawrence.
Rotorua, I think.
Lawrence is driving a cab for work-related reasons, researching a new show called Where To, coming to the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Lawrence, the only thing we know about cab driving on this show is we had a caller a couple of weeks ago who said the hairy checkbook.
Yes.
If you don't have any money, you pay with the hairy checkbook.
Yeah. I went down to the Commonwealth Bank and they had no idea what I was talking about.
I've asked a lot of cab drivers. Can I say, first of all, the hairy checkbook is a complete fallacy. My friend Andrea Powell said, have you been offered sex for payment? I said no, and she said, how embarrassing for you. But I think that the hairy checkbook is a bit of a fallacy, and it's my theory as to why it's a male fantasy.
Yes.
And it's my theory as to why there's no female cab drivers.
Oh.
Because you'd get to a long end of a long fare and every man would go, sorry, I haven't got any money, and just lower his trousers, hopefully. Mm.
But that hasn't happened to you.
No, I haven't been offered sex from men or women. But I have been told one joke. I've polled a lot of cab drivers and said, what's your favourite taxi joke?
Yeah, yeah.
And the same joke keeps coming out. Picked up a naked woman the other night. And took her from Ringwood to St Kilda.
Yes.
And as we arrived, finished the meter and said to her, that'll be $37. And she said, oh, I haven't got any money. And I said, well, how are you going to pay me? And she puts one leg up on the dashboard and points down. And I said, you got anything smaller?
Hello. Still works. Busted out for the corporate gigs. Beauty.
Oh, I'm opening with that at corporate entertainment all over Australia.
Richard, what was this $50 thing you were talking about?
Well, the father in Love My Way, the TV show Love My Way, drives cabs, and there's some good cabbie stuff in that.
Yeah.
Mm. And I heard a rumour that that taxi drivers sometimes, when they get drunks in the cab, say it's the end of a long shift. I've heard that occasionally they can drive a bit erratically to induce vomiting and therefore get the $50 soiling a cab fine fee.
Right.
Ah.
Now,
but I'm sure it's preferable.
Is it worth going through that for $50?
Look, you want to get the drunk bodily out of the cab to vomit before they, especially if you're 1 hour into a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
But the $50 surcharge, soiling surcharge, as you so quaintly put it.
That's a key phrase.
We were never taught about that at cab driver's school.
Yeah.
So I think that is, in fact, it's kind of made up by cab drivers. I think it's fair cop. If you unleash in a cab, but I think it would be very difficult to get the $50 off you're post-vomiting drunk.
Yeah, okay.
And have them just go, yeah, you're right, fair enough.
Do you have a towel?
Remember how, like, when somebody does throw up, their eyes are watering, stuff's coming out of their nose, and they're actually completely disorientated.
Mm.
So I think that you rob them.
They're not going to be writing a check.
You push them forward into the ground, and you rob them.
Yeah.
And that's the price you pay.
We're learning a lot. We have a soiling surcharge here on the show that's paid up at the end of every broadcast, and we're going to talk about what have you found, not pools of vomit,
no,
other things that you found, not just in your cab, but anywhere, and that's next.
Get this.
These lads are the world's happiest librarians.
Brought to you by Chris the Garbo, a.k.a. Fluff, who's taken a vow of silence. Isn't that right, Chris? That's a slab, buddy.
It's Get This, full of natural cheese and roasted veggies, as always, on Triple M around the nation. Lawrence Mooney is with us.
Lawrence was just telling me there's a few impromptu soccer games going on.
Yeah, there's a massive queue of drivers out at the airport. Once they drive out to the airport, they figure I'll join the queue and wait for, you know, the big fare home.
Mm, yeah.
And because you've got a great racial mix, you know, you've got Somalis and a whole lot of different African nations, and then you've got
your... you can't name right now?
Yeah, that's right. Rwandans and
Iraqis.
Sudanese.
Good,
that's
good.
What I was looking for. And then you've got your subcontinent, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Indian. You've got these soccering
nations. There's a World Cup right there.
And they do play soccer out at the airport.
You ever had a game?
Really?
Yeah. But I've never been invited to the airport by any passenger, and it's like the Shangri-La for taxi drivers. Whee, that's $65 on the meter. Throw in a bit of CityLink, they don't know what I'm charging them.
That's so true.
$3,045.
That's how it works. I once paid about £500 to get from Edinburgh Airport to Edinburgh, which takes about 12 minutes, I think.
And you're not going to do a runner in a Scottish taxi, are you?
They're not going to.
I've got a great story about a Scottish taxi driver.
Yeah.
Quickly. A guy was threatened, Scottish taxi driver. They're holding him up, and a young man's holding a knife to the guy's throat, and he says, "You're going to die, taxi driver." He says, "Aye, son, I am going to die, but not tonight."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's tough. A line. Have you busted that one out yet?
No. No one's threatened me. People like me. Yeah, they genuinely do. I, as you know, I come in here and I improve people's day.
You don't have
everyone's sunnier.
You've got the bulletproof screen round the back there.
No, there's no screens in Melbourne, which I like.
No,
but we better crack on because Lawrence has got the meter sitting on the desk.
Okay, we want to talk about what have you found, because look at this. Everyone must have seen James Cameron, the film director.
Oh yes,
busting out what he claims is the tomb of Jesus Christ. It looks kind of to me like a prop from the Flintstones movie.
Now, but he's found two tombs, and I've heard that he's going to be releasing a special edition three-tomb set.
Very nice. There's inscriptions all over them. Look, so this is the evidence. One says Jesus, Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
One says best before 1 BC. Sorry. But they're claiming that, it's a very common name, Jesus, in those days.
Mm-mm.
So
it could... It could be an Irish Esky, and somebody's just written on it, Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
What it is it's the latest attempt to distract from the fact that he hasn't made a movie for about 12 years.
Yeah.
That's what it is for James Cameron. Mm. But we're saying, what have you found? What have you found in the cab, Lawrence?
I in fact found God one night.
Okay.
Scott started talking to me across the dashboard, and he said that I was his favourite. Which is nice. But I also found a mobile phone from yet another drunkard, and... I said, you know, you should come and see my comedy festival show. He goes, yeah, well, you haven't even been funny. I don't think you're very funny. And got out at Crown Casino with his mate.
Good on
you. And there's his mobile phone on the back seat. So it beeps and I open it and there's a text from his girlfriend saying, am I going to see my drunk boyfriend tonight? And I ring her and say, hello, Wendy, I've found your boyfriend's phone. I'm a cab driver. Give me your address and I'll mail it back to you tomorrow, because the protocol, or the standard operational procedure, is you've got to take it to a 24-hour police station.
Yep.
Do you reckon a lot of cab drivers do that with lost property?
No.
And
there's 20 in the back seat.
Closest but there's messages all night about, you know, lost laptop, lost photographic equipment. And it is, you know, a rigmarole to go to a police station and hand all that stuff in. So I mailed it back to him, and I hope they come to see the Comedy Festival show.
Yes.
He was rapt, actually, and next day he sounded very different sober, or the day after the next day, and he said, thank you very much.
That's very kind. Nice. That's one ticket sold, I reckon, Lawrence.
Mm, two. Hope he brings his girlfriend.
Oh, there you go. That audience just doubled. What have you found in Keverley?
Well, I never used to find anything, but I had a friend in high school who would routinely find bags full of money outside this one house in the suburb that we lived. Mm. I'm sure it was a drop-off point because you'd always find like $480, $760.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
He was rich. His whole economy when we were growing up was based on bags of money that he'd found. And every now and again he'd be out of cash. He'd be like, that's all right, I'll just hang around that house. And he would find money. It happened three or four times.
Did you grow up in New Jersey?
A little bit.
It was somebody's envelope.
Yeah.
I found under my house a perfectly formed cat skeleton. And I was told
I don't like this story.
This is years ago. But a re-stumper told me every house has one.
No.
Right. Apparently every house, have a look under there, perfectly forms cat skeleton.
So if you're in Elwood and you're putting up posters on lampposts saying Miffy's gone, just go under the house.
There you go.
No. Mm.
Yeah, it's a sad what have you found, but Richard Marsden.
Oh, well, when I was young, we were walking into the shop with my nana, my sister and I, and we came across about $80 in cash on the ground.
Here we go. Yes.
And we said, Nana, let's hand this in. Like, you know, perfect opportunity for Nana to teach us a life lesson about honesty. No, pick it up, kids, pick it up. Let's run into the shops now. So we had to pick it up. And also my father found a safe on the side of the road.
A safe?
A safe. A real, like, you know, working safe.
Was it one that had been dropped onto a road runner and just been left there?
It should have been. I think it was used in a robbery. I think it was, you know.
Any cash in it?
No cash in it, unfortunately.
Friends and I found an ATM just sitting in the wall. And we did what everyone would do. We had some chains attached to our WRX and we just dragged it home.
Yeah.
You had Nicholas Boot from Today Tonight with you, and he had some chains in the boot ready to go.
Well, that's the thing. When is theft actually finding things?
That's too serious a question for this program. Our question is, what have you found? 133353. That's In Excess here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. Lawrence Mooney is with us as we ask, what have you found? Ed, what's happened?
Hi, Rod.
How you going, guys?
Excellent. What'd you find?
Probably about 20-odd years ago, I was driving down Sydney Road in Coburg, and there's heaps of traffic, and all of a sudden I see this black box bouncing on the road in front of me.
Yes.
And as it's got beside me, it's just sort of opened up and money's just gone all over the place. So I did a big Starsky and Hutch up on the footpath and stopped the van, jumped out, and the bloke across the road, he stopped, and he stopped all the traffic behind him, and I've gone, oh, did you see where that come from? The bloke says, no, I thought it was yours. I've gone, no, mate. So he's grabbed the box and I'm there running down Sydney Road picking up these 20s here, 20s there, 20s here. So he ended up with the bulk of it, which probably would have been a couple of grand in there.
Yeah.
It was in the days of the old getting paid cash for your work.
Sure.
Put it into your bank account. They ended up with about $80.
Wow. Our next caller is Chopper Reed, and he'd like a word. Wow.
Right, well done, mate. $80.
From Sydney. I come from Sydney.
Oh, yeah. Okay, of course you do.
Thank you.
I would have thought it would have been nice to sit down and have a beer and share.
Yeah.
Nah. The bloke's got the box and he's gone with it.
Yeah. That's where I would have done.
$80.
Right. Mm, our next caller has found a severed head. Who have we got?
Hi, Vicky. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, good. What happened?
Actually, I'll cut a long story short. Okay. My mother passed away a couple of years ago. Mm. Certain members of the family moved out of the house.
Yes.
And my auntie and myself were up there cleaning up, and we've got a couple of Rottweilers in the backyard.
Right.
And she went out into the backyard to have a look what plants she could pinch. And she's come running in saying to me, quick, come and help me. I think someone's tried to break in. And the dogs have attacked them and they've lost their wobbly bits. And I went out in the yard and there was a vibrating friend that looked so real where the dogs had chewed up the end of it. And my auntie commenced to pick it up on the shovel saying, oh, what are we going to do about this poor person?
Okay, so
saying she thought that what's happened is a series of nude people have jumped the fence to steal plants and been interrupted by the Rottweilers.
And something like that, yeah.
And they're buzzing wobbly bits.
Where did
without a wobbly bit.
Where did the aforementioned sexual apparatus come from?
Well, I think it might have belonged to the sister-in-law.
Right.
And so we won't go there.
What's her name?
You want a phone number?
Okay, so the dog's dug up a vibrator.
Yeah.
Who's going next?
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself?
Good, thank you, sir. Which vibrator did you find?
Well, funnily enough, I have found vibrators because I'm actually a bed delivery salesman kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
Bed retail. So I actually go in with, new beds and that, but some people actually forget what they've got underneath the bed.
Oh, under the old bed.
Right. So what have you seen? What have you seen? Come on, man.
Okay, well, we've got diaries, okay? So that's filled with all personal stuff. I sort of tend to give that over because, you know...
Yeah, fair enough.
It's worth nothing, not unless there's lots of cash. There's nothing involved.
Exactly.
But we found, you know, the sexual apparatus of vibrators and including electrodes.
Ooh, really? Oh, right. So a bit of Guantanamo Bay-style action in the boudoir.
Well, it's funny, though, because a lot of the electrode one was actually quite an obese woman, and she was standing over my shoulder while I've seen it, and I've looked over my shoulder, and she's just staring at me, and I'm like...
You weren't reading those signals?
Well, I'm not sure if she was trying to give me some hints or not, but...
Oh, yeah, she was.
I was scared. I was the only guy there.
And I hope you guys are still together. Yeah. What a lovely story.
And under every bed, perfectly formed cat skeleton.
Thank you. Hi, Matthew, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, mate, what did you find?
Mate, I found a Winchester rifle.
Oh, God. Oh, whereabouts?
In the bay, Iron Cove Bay, which is at Leichhardt in Sydney.
Yeah.
What did you do with it?
Well, I rang the police and they came and got it.
They came and shot you.
that was it, really. Yeah, no, they checked it out and apparently it had been used in a robbery and I had to show them where it was picked up, where I found it and all that sort of thing. And yeah.
And if no one collects it, do you get to keep that?
I would have. This is about 20 years ago, but I think they're illegal now, those rifles.
Yeah. What's inside the van door that you just shut?
Nothing now.
Right. Yes, I picked up the mystery sound.
Yeah, good job. Hey, good, Lawrence.
With those cat skeletons, we actually lost a turtle once.
Yes.
And the council came around closing down, like, incinerators and that, the burn-offs.
Yeah.
And we removed the incinerator from my mum and dad's place, and there was our pet tortoise shell.
Oh.
There you go.
It's a sad story. Thank you.
Studio audience have gone all gloomy now.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you doing?
Good, bro. What'd you find?
Mate, I'm a plumber. I was doing this little job on a house and had to dig a few holes.
Yeah.
And I was looking for this pipe, and I was just sort of just scratching around, just moving a bit of dirt around. And next thing you know, there's $800 in $50 notes.
Bang! Oh. So you obviously keep that.
Mate, I made a beeline for the closest liquor store, and my beer fridge just looked so good after that. It was just incredible.
And may I say, a wise investment, sir. Well done.
Because you could just fritter that $800 away, couldn't you? On needless things.
I could have wasted it.
And can I ask, sir, Chris, the bloke who was on at the beginning of this segment, and he said, oh, now that, you know, paying for things in cash is a thing of the past. That's not true, is it?
Cash, mate. Right, I'm a tradie. Cash.
Hey,
I've never seen so much cash after they brought that GST thing in.
Exactly right. Remember, that was the main reason we got the GST. Oh, it's got to get rid of the black economy. No, it's giving it the kick in the pants it needed to really get up to speed.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, Scott. How are you?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Really good. What did you find?
Well, we went out into the casino one night and parked in a car park near there and came back, and in our boot the next morning was a bag, and inside the bag was like high heels, moisturiser and a stripper's uniform.
Oh, yes.
Making it worse, it was my girlfriend's car and she found it, so we just had to explain that we don't know how it's there.
Right, so how much is your girlfriend making doing this?
Why
and because the stuff, like the actual uniform, smelt like a stripper.
Yeah.
We hung it from our lights, so it was the air freshener in our house. So our whole house smelled like a stripper.
See, Lawrence, you could, instead of the little Christmas tree on the mirror, you could have a stripper's uniform.
Hey, Scott.
What does a stripper smell like?
Hey, Scott, how would you describe Oda Stripper?
Oh, it's good.
All right, thank you, everyone. Ooh, who found good. Something. We'll be back to wind up the show in just a few moments. I'll get this.
Echo Beach. That's Martha and the Muffin Tops. I understand there are two Marthas in Martha and the Muffins.
That's
Richard
true.
Marson. Yeah. Oh, Richard Marson gearing up for his bout, his rock trivia bout with Alan Bro. It's happening next Tuesday.
Oh, okay, SmackDown.
On Get This, Lawrence Mooney.
SmackDown.
Lawrence, you have something to say about Echo Beach?
Yes, I do. In year 11, way back in 1981, I was in Economics B.
Yes.
So on the way to that, we'd sing Echo B Far Away.
Yeah.
Oh, Echo B.
To anyone who was in that class.
Hello to Craig Braddy and Nick Gibbons, our
teachers.
Hey,
Gibbo.
Lawrence, this has been a lot of fun. What a
so
bunch of great
fun.
Stories. If your show is half as good as what you've been busting out of your notebook, that's going to be a top old view.
You
when
reckon
is it happening?
It's happening from April 4th to April 29th at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Book on comedyfestival.com.au.
And probably coming to your town. And I love what you were about to say. You were about to say, do you reckon there's enough in there?
Yeah, I was.
I reckon there is.
Do you reckon there's a couple of laughs?
Questions from the audience, yeah, perhaps, for a while?
I'm
not going to do questions from the audience, but I am going to test them on their knowledge of Melbourne.
Oh, right.
So there's going to be some prizes to be won.
There's a treat. And
it's going to be like Quizmania. Those questions just go for 45 minutes, and we give away $3 at the end.
Improvisational genius after midnight on Channel 9. But thanks for coming in, Lawrence. Thanks to everyone who called up. Great stories today. Our key phrase, what was it, Ed?
Smells like a stripper.
Oh, it's good.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Josh Lawson. Yeah, and it's all thanks to as yet nobody.
Now it's all out and you know.
He has no pants, but he is all class.